Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It doesn't really dig in too deep, I'd say. I just feel bad for a guy that's just done everything right, and he's, what's this, his fourth consecutive year putting up 40-plus touchdowns, and everyone's going to say that statistically the other guy should win, and if you rewind back to last year, Josh had every statistic, and he still won. So, I mean, it's pushed by the media, so people believe the media. You know, I just think that we were counted out a lot, and then, you know, everybody left. We didn't have anybody. We weren't supposed to win the division. We weren't supposed to make the playoffs. Now you're sitting here talking about the 2 seed, and there's just a lot that goes into it. And I just feel bad for Josh and what he has to deal with, but you know, he's got a head on his shoulders, and it doesn't really affect him too much. But that, me blocking for the guy, I could probably say a little more than he can.
Spencer Brown's comments about the MVP discourse and what's been going on there. And a lot of it is fairly balanced. You know, the one thing that, and I don't want to go too much into this because I'm basically bashing my head into a wall here about this. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. With the MVP thing, Joe, the last thing I want to bring up with it when it comes to Spencer Brown's comments about the comments is it's very balanced what he said there. However, it is the spirit that still needs to be thought of there. And what Allen has on Jackson is that narrative. The same national talking heads propping up Lamar Jackson very conveniently seem to have forgotten that they all, not all of them, but a good majority of them were picking the Bills to not win the division, not have a 12-win season, and not have their usual success.
Oh, yeah. They were written off.
So what Allen has that Jackson does not is something that's not measurable within the conversation. And that's narrative. It can be powerful. Yeah. Especially
these writers love narratives.
Because writers love narratives. But it's not measurable. And that is Lamar Jackson's strongest case this year, is that it's measurable. Josh Allen's strongest case last year was it was measurable. But I also have... We needed to put the pitchforks down for last year. Last year, the one award you should get mad about is DeMar Hamlin, not Josh Allen.
We've been a proponent for that all around. The MVP was whatever, but
yeah,
DeMar Hamlin dropping an award like that to Joe Flacco is outrageous.
Yes, that was far more egregious.
Yeah. Did you see Keon Coleman's gotten in on the Twitter chatter?
No, I did not.
Yesterday, December 27th, 2024, in response to all of the national pundit stuff, he just put 4 laughing emojis.
Yeah. The thing is that, again, the national pundits that are the talking heads with this, they all seem to have conveniently forgotten that the narrative that they created has been quashed. And who helped do that? It was Allen. A big portion of it. But again, in the spirit of this, in the spirit of what I'm trying to say, let's not ignore what Lamar Jackson's doing this year.
You can't.
Because you shouldn't. And you shouldn't tear it down either. Derrick Henry this, Derrick Henry that. Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens also managed to get good rushing seasons out of plenty of players. Gus Edwards became a thing because of the Baltimore Ravens. When J.K. Dobbins was healthy, he was a solid runner for them. Mark Ingram showed up in Baltimore. He rejuvenated himself. It's not a surprise to see the Baltimore Ravens, a famously capable running football team and franchise, still have a way to draw to its roots with being able to run the football and having capable backs to do so. So I'm not going to go ahead and ignore Lamar Jackson's work in the passing game in addition to his legs, because he's doing incredible things, and that needs to be said. And the Baltimore Ravens very typically have capable rushing attacks every year. But the minute that they take Greg Roman away from the Baltimore offense, Lamar Jackson is putting up numbers that he has not before.
Makes you wonder what Justin Herbert's potential could be.
Yeah, get Greg Roman out of football, please.
Yeah, get him out of send him to the XFL. Whatever.
Actually, you know what? There's already four really good quarterbacks in the AFC. I don't need a fifth. Keep him there. Never mind. Bury Justin Herbert with Greg Roman.
Love keep Herbert
him,
though.
Keep him weighted down because I don't need more threats. I don't need more threats.
Herbert could
Bills.
Be very threatening. He's got legs. He's a big boy. He's got a cannon. Like I think if he's really unleashed, it could get scary.
Yeah, and again, the person that they screwed this up with was Dak Prescott that got robbed last year.
It was,
and he should have been in that conversation too. But oh, it's the Cowboys. Who cares? Which. I get it, and they very, very much made that a point in the wild card round last year. So I get it, but last year it was also the near unanimous portion that was weird. And this year, it is what it is. The MVP discussion is quite frankly, you just want the guy to win that you want to win, and you're going to ignore everything else. The Ravens fans saying that the stats matter now when it didn't last year. It is a little hypocritical, and it should be called out. But dang, those are some good numbers there. And unlike Allen, Jackson is playing hot to end the year too. Allen last year didn't have to do everything. Because they were switching offensive coordinators. They were even switching up a little bit of the philosophy of what they do. And
yeah, the run game became that much more important.
The run game became more vital. Like Josh Allen had an entire game where he didn't really have to lift a finger, and it was Dallas. Because they refused to get out a dime and just handed the football off. The Derrick Henry thing to me is still, and again, this is not to discredit Derrick Henry either. He is an upgrade from what they have at the rushing attack, but they've always had a capable rushing attack. So if he wins if Lamar Jackson wins the MVP, I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to worry about it because it is deserving. If Josh Allen wins the MVP, anyone that's not from Buffalo should not worry about it because it's not a big deal because the player is deserving.
Very.
Just say you want him to have more hardware. Just admit it. That's all it is. It's not about the stats matter now. No, you're making a hypocrite of yourself at that point.
Yeah, but no Super Bowls, no MVPs previously, anything like that. You want the three-peat for your player. That's what they want.
Yes, and that's the thing is that because the Kansas City Chiefs have ruined so much now that it's impossible to go ahead and look at it further than you're fighting for the other piece of food that's not as delicious. It's not even the crumbs. It's like a straight up another piece of food. It's an MVP.
Yeah.
But ready? if the numbers matter and Josh Allen wins MVP, then just give Offensive Player of the Year to Lamar.
Yeah, right. Whatever one doesn't
because
get
it. Because there's literally an award for having the best statistical output and being the most impressive player on offense. There's literally an award for that.
Yeah.
That's okay to say, hey, Offensive Player of the Year is still a really damn good award, but it's not the MVP. Yeah? Who cares?
Because, again, the MVP, the middle consonant there, the V, is very important.
The V should be the context. It should have context. It's ready? I can't believe I'm saying this, but hockey does it right. Hockey has a measurable trophy for your numbers called the Art Ross Trophy. And then they have the Hart Trophy, which is separate and has separate winners. Sometimes it has the same winners, but it's not measurable. It is still the MVP is the Hart Trophy. And the Art Ross is for the player that had the most points, but he might not be the most valuable to his team, but he had the most points. The Offensive Player of the Year is still, and they do it for two conferences to me even, no, they should do it to two conferences, I should say, to split it up. You have the player with the most impressive statistics. And this year, Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow have the most impressive statistics. Right. Saquon Barkley also has impressive
statistics. Saquon Barkley would be a good offensive player of the year because not yes. quarterback, you know, that'd be a solid option as well.
But again, I just think that enough tearing, and I'm saying this for all fan bases, and it's Buffalo included, stop tearing the guy down to try to prop yours up because it's a bad faith argument.
Yeah, enough is enough.
Enough's enough.
Both are phenomenal players. Both are phenomenal quarterbacks having historical seasons. Just take a step back and admire that.
This is not a fight to stress about. This is not a fight to waste your time on at this point. And we are taking the show and wasting our time on this show to do it for you. Because that's what we're that's our job is to try to help you with this. Like that's part of the job. It's to try to help out. And that's what we're like, here for.
Like we do with the Buffalo Sabres.
Like the Sabres, a couple, was it last week? Yeah.
It was last week.
I straight up had a different plan for the show. I was so mad at them that I didn't want to even talk about them, but people needed to talk about them.
Yeah, and it was great. You know, we aired the grievances,
we
everything.
Pull out the metaphorical couch, and there we go. When it comes to the MVP discussion, I'm going to take the time to actually map this out this week and say, it's gotten to a point where we should all disengage. It's never going to happen.
Whatever happens is going to happen.
But if I could stop as many people from arguing with the equivalent of a brick wall, I'm going to do it. If I could stop people from arguing with the brick wall, I'm going to do it. Because that is something that we deserve, is to be able to use our time for better arguments and better faith arguments, presenting better faith arguments than that. I'm not going to ignore what Lamar Jackson has done this year. I am not going to ignore it. Because I shouldn't. The reason that it's such a highly heated debate is because both players deserve it. Just admit that you want Allen to have one. Desperately. Just so that you have it. It's a pick me thing. That's all it is. Pick our guy. It's all it is. It's all it boils down to because both of them deserve it and both of them are incredible and both of them are awesome and both of them are in Kansas City and to hell with Kansas City.
Yeah, get him out of there.
You're lucky I don't have...
Sorry, Patrick Mahomes just graced the airwaves there.
You're lucky that you're not here because I would have thrown the nearest object at you. There are two remotes. There is a bottle. There's a highlighter. Trevor almost got hit in the crossfire because he's sitting over here.
Trev's back in the studio.
Trev's back in the studio. And with Trevor back in the studio, we're going to hit an early break so that Trevor and I can go over the Buffalo Bandits and do a Bandits hit because, Joe, you've got to get out of here. You've got plans. You've got holiday plans. That's why we opened the band like that.
Yeah, some holiday plans still shaking out and, you know, excited for them. But, Trev, have a good time. I'll see you at the arena later. And, Derek, we'll get back to regularly scheduled programming next Saturday.
At the very least, I'm pretty sure I'll see you here tomorrow.
Bills game day.
You're absolutely right. I totally forgot. Sorry. Accidentally fat-fingered a button on this this board I currently am operating on.
That is awesome. And
yeah, did you hear that? Did that come through?
That yes, that's a clip. Evan is like giddy all of a sudden because you did that. So, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm just going to – that's a clip. That's going somewhere. I don't know where it's going when it comes to an open or just a bump. It's going somewhere.
Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
It's Joe Calley. Messing with the clean feed and appreciating him for doing that. Good job, man. That there's no, there are fewer exits better than that. So, Joe, I'll see you around tomorrow, though.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll catch you guys later. Have a good rest of the show.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
That's Joe Calley. We come back. Trevor Hauer is in the seat. We'll talk some Bandits and go through even maybe, dare I say, talk about the hockey team, perhaps? I don't know. There's some stuff that has to go on there. I'm getting tired of the MVP conversation. It is fatiguing, and maybe we need to stop doing that. We'll also look at, hey, every one of those teams that are currently in an AFC playoff spot, they can finish anywhere between 5 and 7, all three of them. We'll go through the possibilities and, of course, go through our preferences as well. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly's out of here for the day. Evan's on the board. Trevor Hauer checks in. Coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday, you're listening to WGR.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here from the Canadian Tire Center, and the Bandits commanding 15-7 lead in this game. Another goal scored by Buffalo, and the relentless attack, carbon copy of what happened in the fourth quarter of last week's game, and Josh Byrne, the recipient of that one, and for Byrne, his second of the evening. So that is second for 7 assists. That's 9 total points. He has eclipsed the 500-point mark of his career.
John Gertler on the call, as he is for every Bandits game, which you'll be able to hear on our sister station, Bet 1520. The Bandits, not just in action tonight, not just the third game of their season, it is the first home game, the banner raising of a championship, and the first time playing in front of the home crowd this year. Their home opener against Rochester tonight for a 6:30 faceoff. Derek Kramer, and I have Trevor Hauer here, as Trevor is our building's lacrosse aficionado.
Yeah.
He's a guy that knows his stuff. And I figured, why not have him in here to be able to talk about this? And I also dragged him in for the band to start the show, just so he can get going.
Well, talk about a great team to talk about, too. I mean, these guys coming off of back-to-back championships, looking for a third this year, jumping out to a 2-0 start, something they haven't done, at least in a couple years. I know the last few years they started off 0-1 and kind of bounced back to win the championship. But this year, looking at a 2-0 start, outscoring their opponents 33-14, already taking down the Nighthawks once on the road in their opener, and then facing against a young and flashy up-and-coming team in the Ottawa Black Bears, beating them 18-7. Wow. I mean, coming off a bye week this week, a full week of rest, they're going to be ready for this one, Derek. I'm telling you.
They're going to be ready for this one, and just for those that want to know what's going on, if you're going to the game today, it is sold out. And so if you wanted to go to the game, StubHub,
whoops,
yeah. I don't know, secondary market, find your way. Find your way if you're going because someone, like, unfortunately can't go or something. Because otherwise, there's no way you're getting in there. Fans are encouraged to be in their seats by around 6:10 from what I see here on the Bandits website for the opening sequence and ceremony as the Bandits raise their 6th championship banner up to the rafters. Doors will open at 5 o'clock, so you've got plenty of time to be in your seats by 6:10. Tonight, down at the arena. Face-off again, set for 6:30.
And not to mention, everyone in attendance gets a replica championship banner.
I was going to read that next. Look at you.
Great minds think alike, Derek. I'm telling you.
Not even minds. I just saw it was in front of my face.
Oh, okay.
So I'm reading basically the information that I was given so that I can help read this off.
There you go.
So, again, there's plenty to do. As there always is with a Bandits game, there's tons of fun. There's a lot of family inclusive activities with that. Try to help grow the game. Near the I think it's near the 1970 Club, it looks like. Fans could take photos
yep.
with a backdrop, with Banditland backdrop. There's hair braiding, face painting, airbrush tattoos. So again, for kids and adults alike, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do. You're 34, you want to get an airbrush tattoo, do it.
I'm not going to judge. Derek's not going to judge.
I'm even encouraging it.
No, I mean, I would go to the games, I'd wear my scream mask
Get your face painted.
Yeah.
So, again, there's going to be giveaways, everything like that. You just said everyone will get themselves a miniature banner as well. You got a chance to win some Bandits memorabilia or signed items as well during the home opener. There's going to be a silent auction. And there's, again, plenty going on. There's going to be sweepstakes for this thing. And a chance to win a banner signed by a mini banner signed by the whole team,
Great.
And that is something you got to enter online at the Bandits website to try to get your hands on as well.
And you can talk to anyone about going to a Bandits game. If you've never been, it's an amazing experience. It's like a wrestling crowd meets a hockey crowd.
Yes.
In a way, nonstop music playing. The goal horn goes off all the time. And
that's because of the Bandits themselves.
Yes, just because of the Bandits themselves. And then the in-arena experience. You got Chris Swenson doing the PA, and he's been great with his chants that he's been doing since 1992. An absolute living legend. And if you've never been, I will tell you, it's
a unique vibe.
If you go there for the first time, you're going to say, when's the next one?
Yeah.
Where can I buy season tickets? How do I buy season tickets?
And even then, like for me, someone that got to learn a little bit more about the game, because I worked with John and Steve and Dave a couple times down at the arena in the booth with them. To a point where I got to learn more about the game just by watching it with them in the press box. So learning the game, learning tactics, and learning everything like the terminology,
yep.
loose ball, the hot stick.
Yep.
Like it's something that you learn it and you just go, okay, no, I can appreciate the tactics of the game. I can appreciate how these things happen. You send a player in to crash the crease. You send in players to try to take up space and try to whatever space you can kind of create. For the swing of the stick, low, high, high, low. There's
bounce shot. The physicality of the game, too.
The jump shots and goals from air burn.
Oh, yes.
As Josh Byrne will just send himself through the air diving because you cannot have your foot in the crease.
Yep, cross crease.
There's so much to enjoy about these games, and for me, I've appreciated the tactics of it as well, and especially because it's easier to appreciate tactics and skill in this game when you have one of the best distributors that has been in the NLL in Dane Smith.
Oh, definitely.
Dane Smith constantly leads in assists, or he is up there. Last year, sets the record for assists in a season.
Yep. I think he passed Johnny Tavares' record, who was one of the all-time GOATs in Bandits history.
And their bench boss.
Yep.
So they're fantastic. They're dominant, even more so. But it is more or less one of these things where, like, you got to appreciate what you have there. And what you have with Dane Smith is one of the best passers in the game.
Oh, 100%.
One of the best setup players. One of the guys that he sees the play beyond the play, and he knows how to set it up. That's a guy that needs to get more appreciation around these parts. It's a team that needs to get more appreciation around these parts because, again, like you said, they're going for a three-peat this year. They are a team that is, again, dominant in the 14-team NLL. So much so that they're one of the main catalysts for popularity and expansion.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about, I mean, we've seen attempts at expansion, especially in Panther City, which was a lacrosse team that was based out of Dallas-Fort Worth. We saw them expand into California with the San Diego Seals. They moved to Athens, Georgia. The Minnesota Swarm originally moved to Athens to play for the Georgia Swarm now.
Yep.
The big markets you're really looking at. Buffalo is definitely up there. I think probably definitely top two. But Western Canada, Vancouver, they back those guys up a lot. Calgary, Edmonton moved to Saskatchewan. They draw a great fan base. And even Denver, Colorado, where the Mammoth play, they're up there as far as average attendance and overall fandom as well.
And their success also helps with getting that attendance as well, as
yeah.
Colorado beat Buffalo in the finals a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2022, they also beat the Buffalo Bandits in 2006
yes.
as well. And that sparked a little bit of a rivalry, and the Bandits did get their revenge in 2023, winning their first title since 2008 against the Colorado Mammoth.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's Toronto Rock. You know that that is – the animosity between those teams has always been there, and it's there again, as always, and it's always tightly contested. Because that first round of the playoffs, who do they got to get through? Toronto.
Yep.
And they do, but it was tight.
And it's always so physical,
too. It's always a good game between those two teams as well. So, and, of course, you know Toronto is going to fill in the arena for that one.
Oh, they usually do.
For that team as well.
Yep. And it's always, if you want to see a really physical game, back and forth type of game, I always tell people, go to a Buffalo versus Toronto game. Whether it's in Toronto, whether it's in Buffalo, you are going to see back and forth scoring, physicality. It's going to be a whole show. And you get it at a solid price, too.
Yes, and that's the other thing is that the prices probably have been going up as of late because of the popularity of the team and the success of the team. Because I remember looking at the ticket prices for the playoff games, I was just like, "Whew, yeah, I get it. It's understandable, but dang,
if you're going to put a winning product out there on the field,
you should be able to.
Fans will pay to see it.
Exactly, and that is something we've been clamoring for from the Buffalo Sabres. But that's for another discussion. That's not this segment. But Trevor, I want to have you on a regular basis for this sort of thing because of the fact that this Bandits team, we should be giving a little bit more coverage to, and why not on a Saturday, typically when they play on weekends,
right?
It's a good chance to shine a little light on a team that should be getting its shine because of its popularity within the region now, with the success that they have brought consistently. We're going to dedicate a portion of the show every week to the Buffalo Bandits, the Bandits lacrosse, as you and Joe Calley will be making constant trips down to the arena for the home games.
Yeah, it's going to be great, too. Especially the fact that we can cover this team coming off of back-to-back titles. Can we throw the word dynasty around? Is it too early to throw that word around?
I think if you get three, it's dynastic.
Yeah, if you get especially three in a row. I mean, three championships in a span of 4 years could even be considered a dynasty as well. But the Bandits, they've been to, since the COVID break, they have been to three straight championship appearances, and they've won two out of those three. I couldn't have even asked for a better start from the team looking at through the first 2 weeks of the season or their first two games. They've had a couple bye weeks here and there, especially week one, and then they just had one last week as well. But, I mean, outscoring their opponents 33-14 is not something to scoff at or look away from. These guys are looking for the three-peat, and it's definitely an experience to see. And I love the ability, me having the ability to talk about these guys over the radio, because I've been a lifelong fan, essentially. And
now you're switching it to the job.
Now switching it to, talking about these guys professionally. And it's a great team to cover, a great in-arena experience, and just a great team overall.
Yeah, and again, the Bandits, they will... I will be surprised if they don't continue their winning ways tonight. And you look at the statistics right now of this team and how everything's going, how dominant they started out in their first two games, and here's one that's funny to me. Top 10 scorers in the NLL right now. Everyone in the top nine has three or four games played. And then there's Dane Smith. 20 points in two games, just sitting there at 10th, or excuse me, like a tie for 9th, actually.
Yeah, yep. But when you talk about a guy like Dane Smith, this is a guy who consistently puts up double-digit points every single game. And it's a joke in the Bandits community, but you say that he throws up a silent 10 because it's something that he does on a routine basis. And maybe you don't really realize that he throws up 10 points in a game until maybe the next day or looking at the box score like, oh, Dane Smith, 12 points.
And that's because the Bandits are a buzzsaw. But they're not just a buzzsaw, Trevor. One of the big reasons for more hope for another championship this year is in their crease. They're one of the more defensively sound teams in the league consistently. But what helps with that? Getting good goaltending. And that's the return once again of Matt Vince.
Matt Vince. And when you talk about winning in the trenches and you're talking about winning defensively, the Bandits, that was an area where they really struggled through the first half of last season. If you remember last year, they started off the season 5-6, losing a heartbreaker in Vancouver. They lost a heartbreaker down in Dallas, Fort Worth, and they made the trade. They traded two second-round picks to, I believe, what was it, the Mammoth, I believe, one of those teams to bring in Paul Dawson, who was a staple veteran in this league, and he really was the go-to guy to say, okay, we are going to revamp this defense. We're going to bring in Steve Priolo. Justin Martin is a big and underrated part of this defense. And when you look at some of the transition guys like Ian McKay as well, who can play both offense and defense for the Bandits, you're really dominating other teams in the trenches. And then you mentioned him, 48, man. Matt Vince, he's had a great run in Rochester. I believe he won three championships in a row there in the 2010s. And then he's won back-to-back in Buffalo, and he's been to three consecutive championship appearances. He is one of the greatest goaltenders of all time, especially at his age too, holding two teams, the first two teams that they faced all season long, to under 10 goals. It really reflects on the level of confidence that your defense has and that your goaltending has as well.
So that, again, for you all out there, Buffalo Bandits playing tonight, 6:30. Make sure to be in your seats at 6:10 out there in Banditland at KeyBank Center in downtown Buffalo. Gates will open for you all at 5 p.m. There are plenty of activities. Try to get yourself some merch. Try to get yourself some memorabilia. Try to get yourself some face paint.
Yes.
Fun for the kids and the family all throughout, and a raucous crowd, as is to be expected.
Definitely some things to look out for, too, in this one. We always love the in-game experience, but we never really talk about the pregame experience as well. When the bagpiper comes down,
yes,
and he fires up the crowd, and he's playing, I believe it's Chutes and Ladders by Korn, I think the song is. Mm-hmm. But he goes down there, he stands at the center dot, and he's just playing the bagpipes. They come out, Chris Swenson introduces all the players, the fireworks are going off, the pyro. So get there early, watch warm-ups. Watch the beforehand experience, and then get the entire game. You'll never want to leave. You'll want to return to another game.
Trevor, what do you say we stick around and conduct business as it should be here on a Sports Talk Saturday?
Oh, yes.
We'll tap into the other team that plays at the KeyBank Center as the Sabres taking out their frustrations in these last two games against the Islanders and the Blackhawks. And something that the teaser for the break, it's a dang shame about what has happened to their season. Because if this did not happen to them prior, we would be talking about a different conversation. Derek Kramer, Trevor Hauer in for Joe Cali. This is Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR. Segment of hour number two here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Trevor Hauer.
What's
up? As a surprise fill-in here as Joe Cali had to get going for the day. So we're in our transitional hour here. We've got our bench. We play to it. As Trevor was in the building today, and we wanted to do the dedicated Bandits segment with him. And since Joe had to leave, I was just like, why don't you just stick around for a little bit? We're here till 2.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we do have a quick roster update as far as the Bandits are concerned.
Yes.
One of their forwards, Chris Kluche, has been placed on the injury reserve, and rookie Clay Scanlon, who did get 3 points last week, or 2 weeks ago against the Ottawa Black Bears, he has been activated for tonight's game. So you're going to be seeing him on the offensive front, Clay Scanlon.
All right, there we go. Again, Bandits and Rochester 6:30 face-off tonight at KeyBank Center. Let's talk real quick about the other team that plays there, the Buffalo Sabres. And typically that conversation is supposed to be the other way around. I should be saying it as the Bandits being the, not afterthought, but like secondary. They are the secondary tenant to the building, obviously. But the Sabres, last night, dominate against the Blackhawks. They win 6-2. And in these last two games, these two wins, they have as many goals as they had losses prior to those two games. 13 goals in the last two games. They have taken all their frustrations out on the teams and basically being a Grinch to anyone nearby Christmas, because they just went out and stormed the barn against the Islanders. Oh,
They did what they needed to do.
I needed that so badly personally, because I've gotten a Tennessee Titans level of hatred toward the New York Islanders now.
You're not the only one.
Of I cannot stand them.
Yeah.
And there's no other reason than they are irrelevant.
Ever since the Hudson Fashing, let me just kick this puck into the net.
Not even since then. I think it's 2020 where they started just constantly beating the Sabres, and it, and I'm like, I don't want to take this personally, but I'm kind of taking it personally of what's your problem?
What did we do
what
to deserve this?
What is your problem with the Sabres?
Is this late revenge from the 2007 quarterfinals?
I guess so. I don't know. Is this, yeah, revenge for Wade Dubowitz? Like
Miroslav Chetan?
Who would have thought that I'd be pulling up Wade Dubowitz as a reference?
That's a great pull by you.
In the year of 2024.
Or Trent Hunter? It's a big one.
So the Sabres, though, they take down the Islanders in convincing fashion. They control the puck against the Blackhawks, like just looking like the team that they were before the losing streak, which is high flying,
yep,
entertaining, give you the occasional heart attack.
They had the mindset of whatever you do, I don't care how ugly it may look, just win this game.
But they did it pretty. They did it pretty. They did it skilled, and they did it with the transition game once again, and it does look like it is strong once more. However, this is the thing. This is the thing that's going to bother me now about this season. The wild card this year seems to be on pace for 85 points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now, yep, if you recall from the 2 years ago, the 2022-23 season, the Sabres go on an 8-game losing streak, no points throughout the entirety of it. And it leads them to be 1 point short. If this team pulls the literal same exact thing that they did 2 years ago, and instead of it being an 8-game losing streak in a year where 93 points makes the playoffs, yep, you then go on a 13-gamer, and you miss the playoffs in a year where they make it to, like, say, 85 or 87 points.
Yeah. Yep.
I know I'm going to be upset and I'm going to be salty. But also, if you make that run and you try to threaten for a playoff spot again, I'm part of the problem because I'm so back.
If you're in contention, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, but if you are,
I'm part of the problem.
If you are in contention,
I'm part of the problem.
The city's going to be buzzing. The fans will come out and support the team. When the Sabres went on that run in 2023, every Goathead night when they would score what seemed to be 6 goals wearing those uniforms, I couldn't find an empty seat in the building.
Yes.
And they were just in contention.
And they were just in contention. That's all it was.
That's all you need.
It's not asking much right now. And now here's your stat for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yep.
Other than the 13 goals in 2 games after a 13-game losing streak.
So good.
The Sabres record with Rasmus Dahlin in the lineup versus out of the lineup.
Oh.
Out of the lineup, they are 0-6-2.
Yep.
Which tracks.
Yep.
They haven't won a game without their best player, without their superstar. Which makes sense. That's what superstars do.
Yep.
And Rasmus Dahlin is a superstar.
Let him cook.
The Sabres record with Rasmus Dahlin in the lineup, though, is 13-13-2. But what does that do? It comes back to my central message that I've been saying all year, which is they're average to maybe below average.
But that it's all you need.
But this year, that's all you needed. And then you go and lose 13 games in a row. And that takes you out of that contention. It takes you out of that conversation. And it hurts in a way.
It hurts
because
our soul.
It hurts them, too, because of the marketability of the team and even the faith that you would want to have in the team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't because they're now having to climb up against everyone again. The optimist in a person could say, oh, you're 8 points out of a playoff spot despite everything that just happened to you.
You're right.
But I would then have to counter with, you have to climb up against every single team that you were past. Before Thanksgiving, you were ahead of all of them except for 2.
And that's a big Paul Hamilton point he brings up all the time.
Paul,
it's not the amount of points you're behind. It's the teams you have to pass.
Yep. And now they turned it from being in front of everybody, third place in the Atlantic.
On top of the world, essentially.
On top of our world, at least.
Yeah.
And you turned it into, instead of looking down at everyone, you let everyone get in front of you.
In a span of
a month.
15 days.
It was a month.
Yeah.
Legitimately 1 month, 1 month's time to the day that they won that game against the Islanders. And you let all of them get ahead of you. It is a terrible road to climb, and it's a shame because this team does have fun and exciting aspects to it. You need to counter in kind.
Yeah.
With an impressive winning streak. Can they continue it?
You have to.
The schedule
if you're the Sabres,
not very nice.
You have to. That is the mind. You have to have multiple win streaks.
But the thing is, if they're going to get themselves back into a conversation, they're going to have to earn it. Because the next four games are St. Louis, Dallas, Colorado, Vegas, all on the road.
All out of your home barn.
Hey, good news. They're not that great at home this year, so maybe it can work.
It could.
Okay, I'm done playing optimist.
But realistically, I remember the Sabres playing the Colorado Avalanche, again, a couple years ago, fairly well on the road. That was a different year. I mean,
they play Colorado typically very well.
They do.
This year's nightmare game aside, where they, by the way, jumped up to a 4-0 lead on Colorado.
And last night they closed out a 4-0 lead.
Well, I mean, Chicago's not Colorado.
Yeah, but I mean,
let's be
despite the many heart attacks I may have had.
Let's call it real.
Yes, we're going to call a spade a spade. We will call a spade a spade. But last night when I was producing the game, and I see it's 4-2, I'm like, we're not doing this, are we?
I'm watching the game and go, okay, next goal matters.
Yep.
If you get this next goal, that matters.
And then
if they get this next goal, that really matters.
Hits for the Hats. And Alex Tuch long overdue for a night like that.
Honestly, on a shot that should have been saved.
Yeah.
That was
against the backup goalie. The Sabres don't score against the backup goalie.
Yeah,
so
when the Sabres chase a goalie, they've oftentimes lost that game more than they've won it, and that's a bizarre stat.
You're right.
All right, we got to get going here into hour number three. Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Trevor Howard, Evans on the board. Joe Kelly was with us for these first 2 hours. You're listening to WGR.